Lots going on in the world, church. Lots going on in the country. Lots going on in the state, in our city, in our church, in our own lives. We have a lot to consider. An awful lot to consider in the upcoming days. Men and women have fought for years for our right and our freedom to vote. More than 1 million U.S. soldiers have died over the years defending your right to vote and your freedom. And I heard some statistics that said in the 2012 presidential election, over 93 eligible U.S. voters chose not to vote. That's 93 million people chose not to take a stand. And that affects an awful lot of things. And this election is just as important. It affects our families, our life, our freedoms, our values. And we don't want to leave this to chance. Vote. The Bible tells us, renew your mind daily. Pick up your cross and carry it daily. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are His ambassadors, His representative out there in the world. Have the aroma of Christ when we are around people. As we represent Him, as we pick up His cross and carry it daily, we are to have the aroma of Christ with us, serving that one true King every day. And there's one true King we serve. Amen? The true King taught us to love one another. Even when we look different, when we believe differently, when we live in different areas, when we come from different areas, He told us to love one another. Even though we think and look differently. The true King said, your power comes in your weakness, because my power comes through you in your weakness. In Matthew 5 are the Beatitudes. And the true King said, blessed is the peacemaker among you. Church, blessed is the peacemakers among you. Why, you will be called sons of God, He says. Interestingly enough, today's message title is War and Peace. I don't claim it to be a great masterpiece. It's just what I titled it, because I thought that's where we are. We're between war and peace. But His word in Matthew 5 says, blessed are the peacemakers among you, for they are called sons of God. The true King said, I can bring more than 12 legions of angels. Did you not know that? But He gave Himself up as a ransom on the cross. You see, He could have brought war on. But He humbled Himself and said, no, I give Myself as a ransom for you and for your sins on the cross. That's the true King that we need to serve. The true King said, I lay down My life for you. And then Jesus later on said, will you lay down your life for Me? You see, He's already laid down His life for you. But the question is still the same that He asked His disciple, that He's asking you. Will you lay down your life for Me? John 15, 13, we saw it up there on the screen, said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. When you tell other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, believe me, you are laying down your life. not in the same manner, but you're putting yourself out there. For those that have laid down their life for your freedom and your rights to vote, get out and vote this election. Our power, our existence, our very being is in and through Him. Acts chapter 17 tells us that, verse 28. It says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." Now, many of you may think our being comes from other things and our livelihood comes from other things. But this tells us it all comes from Him. For in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. We talked an awful lot in King's Kids over the last couple weeks about believing. But it's more than believing. It's about doing, and it's about action, and it's about obedience. It's time to believe that we live in Him. And we move and have our being in Him. It's time for us to believe that. But it's time for us to live that. Amen? We can believe all day long, but we have to live it. And until we live it out, we'll be in the same rut, going down the same path, doing the same old, tired journey in our old, worn-out vehicle. Because we have not lived it. If you put the same cruddy gas in your car, watered-down junk, it's going to run pretty cruddy. And it's the same thing. When we put cruddy gas inside of us, well, we may still move. But He says, "No, I've got the good stuff I want you to put in." And He wants us to put that in every time we fill up. Renew your mind daily. That's not the watered down junk. We get that enough through Facebook and Twitter and all these different things. We'll get to that in just a minute. Can you tell I'm not a Facebook fan? Sorry, are you watching me on Facebook? Okay, well. But I see and I hear people constantly. All my life. But they believe in word only. And the Bible says, in James, He tells us, do not just be a hearer of the word, but be what? A doer of the word. Amen. Thank you guys for knowing that. He tells us, be a doer of the word. And He talks about lip service. And He says, man, you service me and you just do this stuff. And you say with your words stuff to flatter me and make me feel good. But your life doesn't line up with your word. Or with my word, He tells us. Tired of carrying around our garbage. The rest of us can see and smell it a lot of times, but you're still dragging it around. Okay? It's time to set that down. It's time to set it down and leave it behind. And I know as I look around, there's hurt and there's damage that has been done by people in your life. And maybe you're saying, God, you damaged me. You took so-and-so out of my life. But His intent is never to hurt you. Never to hurt you. We miss people in our lives. We miss them dearly. But God says, I don't want you to turn on me because of that. I want you to turn to me because of that. You can help others through this time. We don't have one way that helps people mourn the same. No one can tell you how and when in a time frame for your mourning and your hurt. I do pretty well most days with my father being gone just over 30 years. But some days it stings like it is yesterday. And I know some of you feel the same way about loss of someone or about the hurt that someone has caused you in your life. And you think, man, I will never forgive them. I can't. God tells us about that. He says you have to. And why do you have to do that? So we can be forgiven by Him, we must forgive others. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. And we're going backwards just a little bit from where we were last week, talking about the parable of the lost son and the lost coin. In Luke chapter 14, verse 25, and it says, "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.'" We've read this before. This sounds pretty brutal. I mean, we're talking about war and peace, and he just said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate them. He's not talking about hating them. He's talking about serving the risen Savior. "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he's laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" He says, you've got to have a plan in place, and you've got to know the cost ahead of time. Or others will mock you, saying, "You didn't do your work, and you didn't know how to finish it up." "Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Gideon looked at it a little differently, but this thing says, if you have 10,000, will you have enough to get through 20,000? "Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. You've got 10,000, they've got 20,000, they're coming towards you." And you think, uh-oh, this might not have been a smart move. I'm looking at all of you coming against me. Maybe I should go out and send a delegation and say, forget the war, let's try and make some peace here, okay? "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciples." We need to choose our battles. You hear a lot, you know, got to pick and choose your battles. I got to pick my battles. But I'm telling you, we put our battles out there on Facebook, and we battle politics, we battle religion, we battle gays, we battle voting, the educational system, we battle football. We battle all kinds of things on Facebook. And I'm not talking about just friendly OU versus OSU and all that crazy stuff. Okay, good. You were silent on that. Thank you. Blessed are the peacemakers for another few weeks. But I'm talking about when we really stand strongly and say, I think you're an idiot for doing this. And sometimes we have no place joining a battle. Oh, they're having a little squabble over here. Well, let me jump in the middle of this because certainly I know their situation. I know their family. I know my values. I'm a Christian, so certainly I can clarify this. All you do is make mud out of that dirt and water. We have to pick our battles carefully, wisely. Carefully doesn't mean I've got enough strength to do this battle, even though it's ignorant. We have to pick our battles wisely. One team, one goal. The Bible tells us there's one Spirit, one God, one baptism. One team, one goal. We are part of that one team, by the way, and one goal, and that is to be Christ-like. to get others to know and accept Jesus Christ. Remember, we're His representatives. And I said a few weeks ago, when we don't act right, when we don't talk right, when we don't give right, think about this one for a minute, church. When we don't give right, we misrepresent God. And we misrepresent our faith and how much we believe and trust in Jesus Christ and our God. Flip quickly, if you would, to Galatians. Galatians talks about oneness all through it. In Galatians chapter 3, and I'll move through these fairly quickly, and I apologize, but if you can, at least write it down. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. And it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." One team. Neither slave nor free, neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Flip over just a little bit to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13 through 15. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." I'm going to read that again just in case you missed it. "You've been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." But listen carefully when we talk about warring with one another. "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." When we pick the wrong battles, we devour one another and we become consumed by one another. We need to be here strong and ready to stand. We find strength when we humble ourselves. But it's strength through Him when we humble ourselves. And then Galatians 6, one of my favorites, verse 1 through 5. And it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." It says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." We are to bear our own load, bear one another's burdens. Restore one. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. We're talking about oneness, one team. We're in this together. We have to learn to carry our own load, but bear one another's burdens. I know quite some time ago we discussed that on a Wednesday night. We all have our own pack to carry. But we also need to understand when we need to go alongside someone and help them with their burden that they're carrying. Oneness, one team, one God. When we choose our battles carefully, thoughtfully, wisely, biblically. And again, sometimes we use the Bible to jump in those battles we have no business being in. Sometimes when there's, I'm not even going to go there. Never mind. We'll skip that. But we think war, or we think change comes through war, possibly through anger, battles, And we think that's where change comes from. And God says, man, I've got different plans for change. Changing the world doesn't rest in politics alone. Politics may affect the world. I'm not ignorant to think it doesn't. But I'm saying the Bible tells us change doesn't rest in politics alone or war. The power of Christians is not coming from ourselves. But the power for Christians comes through our Creator. Amen? Our Creator gives us power. And again, He gives it to us through our weakness, through our humility, through our troubles, through our trials. We find power when we allow God to speak to us. Be still and know that I am God, the psalm says. When we sit still and allow God to speak to us, we can find power in that alone. We find power when we allow God to speak through us to other people. We find power when we love one another, as we just read. Thus removing hate for those that are different than us, that believe differently. Now the Bible tells us, be careful where you go. It just told us. When you want to restore someone, it says, be careful, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we have to be careful when others believe differently than us. But we are to love them. We are to love everyone. Turn to Matthew 24. We've got a lot coming up. And where I'm going with this is, we have to rely on Jesus Christ. And we have to put our faith in Him. Man, when we put our faith in man, we can be disappointed quickly. Because the kingdoms of earth will pass away, right? But the kingdom of God is eternal and lasts forever. So in Matthew chapter 24, I didn't have this initially, but as I continued to study and prepare for this, it just came to me recently, and I wanted to throw this in there. And I mean throw it in there like just an added something filler. I'm talking about that I thought it was important. Now He sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to Him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? And they wanted to know, man, give us a sign. When you tell us the end is going to come, when will that be? And what sign will we have so we know that it's coming? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name. Listen carefully. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And they will deceive many. Now the Antichrist is coming, but these are the false Antichrist. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And they'll deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. You will see that you are not, or see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrow, or sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. They will start to betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and they'll deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Listen to me, church. The love of many will grow cold. It is up to you to fan that flame and keep that warm and keep it going. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, And then the end will come. Kingdoms of earth will pass away. But the kingdom of God is eternal. We're going to close with this. Psalm 145, verse 10 through 21. And I'm just going to read it. You can write it down if you want. But Psalm 145, verse 10 through 21. And it says, "All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom." Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, church. "And your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him." I'll read that one more time also. "The Lord is near to all those who call upon him." Some of us may need to call upon him today. Say, "God, I know you're there, but you're way out there." You may need to call upon him. "To all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen." Church, today with a lot going on in this world, in this country, in our state, our churches, our families, our schools, our workplaces, we have to choose our battles. God will take care of the wars. He says wars will come and go. Nations against nations. Kingdoms against kingdoms. But his kingdom will last forever. And I want us to pray today. And I want us to pray for our nation, and our state, and our city, and our communities. I want us to pray for our men and women in the service that are out serving, those that have served. And I want us to pray intentionally. And I want us to be focused on what we're praying about. And I want us to pray about the wars or the battles we get into with one another. Because his word says, "Blessed is the peacemaker, for they will be sons of God." And so as we pray, if you are able, church, I want us to do something different today. I want us to get on our knees today and pray. Because this is powerful and this is important. And I think when we get on our knees, it becomes a different situation in a different setting. Let's do that at this time. Again, if you're able to, let's get on your knees in front of your chair. You can face your chair, you can, whatever you want. Just get on your knees if you're able. And let's just take time to pray.
This congregation, there is great grief and an intense sadness coming from some of you. It's like a well that just never stops coming up in you. And I have felt your pain. I feel your pain. But you have a God who loves you so very dearly. He knows your anguish. He knows the battles you fight. He knows your sorrow. He knows it deeply. He is a God who loves you so very dearly. We celebrate communion today. And this communion shows you how much He loves you. Tremendous, tremendous love that He has that we don't even have a beginning understanding this great love. So He knows your sadnesses. It says in the Bible that God takes all of our tears. He remembers our tears. He knows them. He knows what you're going through. But one time I was praying and I kept feeling like, you know, I was groaning in my spirit. And He said, yes, your groanings, all those breaths that you take in and out that are full of the sorrows that you have, He keeps those too. He doesn't keep them in a bottle. He recognizes that breath, that nefesh in Hebrew. He recognizes that breath as your groanings, you're crying out to Him. And He puts them in that golden bowl that are the prayers of the saints. And He continually keeps them as a savor in front of Him. He does not forget your tears. He does not forget your sorrow. He does not forget what you go through. All I can tell you is that if it has to do with forgiveness and that sorrow has any taint of unforgiveness, then our pastor is right. You have to forgive. Doesn't mean that you want to, but as far as you can do so, you have a job to do. You have to forgive. But if that is not the case and you just feel the sorrow of things that have not been resolved, then God has given you hope. And that hope says you are a overcomer, that God wins in the end, and that everything that you feel that is full of groaning and sorrow and deep grief, God's going to take care of it. And in the end, the good guys win. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Do not give up. Do not continually distress yourself over things that are great grief to you. Remember and look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. God will end this. And you will win. You will be a winner.
Heavenly Father, we just ask You to meet us where we are, to hear our prayers, O Lord, to strengthen us as believers in Christ, that it's more important now than ever that we come together, that we show who we are and what we are in You. In Jesus' name, amen.